Well, like we mentioned during our prayer time, we've been through a very difficult week. And in reality, not we, but those who are brothers and sisters that are really suffering right now, whether it is Mexico or the Antilles in general, they're going through a very difficult time. Our only difficulty has been in seeing all these disasters on TV and not being able to do anything about it. For most of us, it's, you know, a matter of concern, being concerned for them. It's a matter of sympathy. But it's really hard to empathize with the victims unless we have somewhat of a reference point, somewhat of a similar experience. It's really hard for us to connect with what they're going through. Now, love is the one thing that we can share with those who are living the experience of disaster. It will be very long before these areas go back to normal. And they're going to need a lot of help, and perhaps we can prepare to show our love to them in any way that we can. Maybe we can contribute financially. Maybe we can contribute physically. Maybe we can send a few generators to the islands. So there's going to be more about that, hopefully, in the next few months in all this recovery efforts that are going on. Now, our text today provides us with a challenge. Like in the case of the Caribbean islands, we've had two terrible storms that wreaked havoc throughout the land and the people. Israel is also now looking at another terrible situation in front of the Egyptians that is potentially devastating for them in their saga, in their journey of the Exodus out of Egypt. Now, I'm sure that we all have images of that movie of Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments, right? You remember that, right? I think everybody has seen that movie, right? When the walls of water lift up to the sides and Israel is let through. But I'd like to bring you back from that image, okay? I'd like to erase that for a minute. And I'd like you to see a different side of it, the human side. Now, Israel clamors to God. And I want us to please hear in our hearts and in our minds their voices. Because when you are in desperation, when you see danger, there is something that is real happening here, right? There's anxiety. There's even panic. Because we know that it is not good. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. I don't know if you remember those words. We didn't read them, but they're in the chapter before. Now, hear them. And maybe you can connect with the experience that they have at that moment. Were there no graves in Egypt? I mean, why have you done this? Now imagine that they're being freed from slavery. And here they are, questioning. Not only questioning, but questioning passionately. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Now, I can only imagine what the people in Puerto Rico were feeling when Irma veered north away from the island at last minute and spared them. I think it was miraculous. It was a time where people were saying, "Woof, you know, we escaped that one." When the people of Israel were let go by the Pharaoh, it was also miraculous. You remember that last plague. They were ready. Remember, we were talking about that last week. They were ready to do whatever was needed because at that moment, it was a crucial moment in their experience. Pharaoh lets them go. But the moment that another challenge presents itself, it's so easy to forget the miracles that we have experienced, isn't it? We're always victims of the fear of the consequences of our salvation. Think about that. Those who have been in church all their lives are no different than those who have been rescued from sin last month. In our journey of faith, there's always scary times. And even as we engage with an experience with God, we really don't know what's ahead. And it's scary. When things get heavy, when difficulty appears, and even when we have been saved from difficulty, from catastrophe, we still don't know what lies ahead. And I think that not knowing just instills fear in our lives. Isn't it? Isn't it the one thing that keeps us from engaging completely with our God? Can I really trust Him? There's a pastor, his name was Blackaby. He called this a crisis of belief. Have we done the right thing in placing all our trust in God? Have we done the right thing? Is he worthy of our trust? Is God really going to save us when things are not looking right? Will God do it our way? Right? Will God do it in a way that I have already figured out, or will God intervene in our lives as He sees fit? We all know what Israel did. They resort to complaining. Right? Why have you done this? Why have you taken us from Egypt? All the excitement of being liberated went down the drain. But we see that God, regardless of what Israel is thinking or experiencing, God just shows up. And shows up in a mighty way. Now the smaller islands of the Antilles and Puerto Rico resorted to prayer instead, knowing they couldn't do anything about Maria. But God allowed the double whammy to hit Dominica, the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, and further on. They allowed them to take the brunt of the storm. Why didn't they get saved? You see, I think there's a difference between what the Israelites have done and what I hear the Puerto Ricans did before the storm hit. It was a matter of perception. The Israelites thought that this was the end of the world. And I tell you, a lot of Puerto Ricans were saying, God, we're in your hands. We don't know what's coming, but we're going to trust that you're going to take us through this. I even heard the announcers on TV saying, God help us. It's weird, right? When people are praying on TV, on the news, they knew they couldn't do anything about it, and on top of that, they were seeing it coming, and I can't imagine what they were experiencing. It seems reasonable to doubt. Israel complained, and they would have rather died in Egypt instead of going through all the work of moving just to die. To them, it wasn't worth the effort. And again, it seems reasonable to think that way. But these islands, they prepared for the worst as they could. And we just don't know, do we? We just don't know what the future holds. So there's two things I'd like to note, and we should be done. One is from before the passage, and another one is from within the passage. Chapter 13, verse 17 says that God knew that Israel wasn't prepared for war with the Egyptians. So instead of going the short way to the land of the Philistines, God brought them through the wilderness. If you read the passage over there, it says, let us change this route, because if Israel freaks out, they probably want to return to Egypt. So there's another route that comes up. The other aspect of the scene in Exodus event that I really think is important for us to hear and see is the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that are around the Israelite people. It says that they led Israel. But at the moment of difficulty, you know what happened. Right? What happened with that pillar of cloud? Instead of leading it, the people, it came and protected the folks. It moved back behind them. Now, why would God redirect the Israelites? Why would God change the route of Irma, but not change Maria? Why did Mexico get a double whammy? And this week we hear that it was a triple whammy, right? They had three earthquakes. You see, why does God allow some things to happen while not others? By the way, if you're waiting for the answer, you know that I'm not going to give it, right? Because I really didn't mean to provide the answers to those questions. Those questions might be impossible to answer reasonably and sensibly. Now, what we do know is what happens. What we do know is what is told to us in verse 30 and 31. They say, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians." So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. That's the only thing that we know that could answer our questions, is that the Lord saved Israel that day. They had other mishaps. They probably complained a lot more. And you know that they did. But that day, the Lord showed up. And I can only imagine what is going through the minds of Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, people from the lesser islands, as they are called. We could have been dead. And even though there was a lot of devastation, and even though some people really lost their lives and their families that are hurting, people are still probably saying, "Wow, maybe God has saved them too. And maybe God has used that experience for some of them to see God in a different light." We do not know. Now, last week, we concluded that perhaps the idea of disaster and difficulty, remember this, when there's stress and turmoil in our lives, can be reinterpreted, right? Instead of being the end, it can be the beginning of something. It can indicate that we can start a new way. And this week we're reminded that God prevents Israel from going through that difficulty, from going the short way to Canaan. And even though they ended up just boxed up by the Egyptians, God comes in a miraculous way, providing the Israelites with another piece of history to remember. You know that the tremor in Mexico was on the day they were commemorating 32 years that before that earthquake happened in 85. That would be memorable. Perhaps as we see things that happen to us, or around us, even if they are disasters that take life, property, and health, and seemingly take away the future that is potential out there for us, we can also remember the things that God has done. And remember that God has not changed. And remember that God is with us, whatever happens in our midst. Let's pray. Father, we again come to you when I'm sure there are questions all throughout the time, because we have experienced a month of September of one thing after another. And even though these things are happening far away, Lord, they impact us. And they make us think about our own experience. And they provide a framework for us to see ourselves. Help us, Lord. Help us to see that you are part of this framework. And that we cannot just push you away because you are there no matter what. Help us to see ourselves in that light. Help us to see your protection and your love for us in the midst of all the bad experiences. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.